Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivrinda Okay, so we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're starting with chapter 13 today. And we're going to be reading some of the verses from that chapter. So I'll just tell everybody in advance, I might not be covering all the... I was supposed to, you know, I was given from text 1 to text 64. Might not get to text 64, and I might not read all the purports, but there'll be a lot of reading. You know, you're not going to get cheated out of hearing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it might not all be from this exact section I was assigned to. Okay, but we'll cover it as best we can. So this is the chapter 13. It's entitled The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord at Ratha Yatra. So this is the chapter summary. A summary of this chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Bhashya as follows. After bathing early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deities, Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, get aboard their three cars. This function is called Pandu Vijaya. At that time, King Prataparudra took a broom with a golden handle and began to cleanse the road. Lord Jagannath took permission from the goddess of fortune, and then started in the car for the Gundicha temple. The road to the temple led along a broad sandy beach, and on both sides of the road were residential quarters, houses and gardens. Along that road, the servants called godas began to pull the cars. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his Sankirtan party into seven divisions, with two madangas in each division. There were altogether 14 madangas. While performing kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited various symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, and Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exchanged their feelings very blissfully. When the cars reached the place known as Balagandhi, the devotees offered the deity simple food. At this time, in a nearby garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees took a brief rest from dancing. So text 1. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who danced in front of the car of Sri Jagannath, be all glorified. By seeing his dancing, not only was the whole universe held in wonder, but Lord Jagannath himself became very much astonished. All glories to Sri Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to the listeners of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please hear the description of the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Ratha Yatra festival. His dancing is very enchanting. Please hear of it with great attention. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates got up in the dark and attentively took their early morning baths. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates then went to see the ceremony of Pandu Vijay. During this ceremony, Lord Jagannath leaves his throne and gets onto the car. King Prataparudra in person, as well as his entourage, allowed the Pandu Vijaya ceremony to be seen by all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his prominent devotees, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and others, were very happy to observe how Lord Jagannath began the Ratha Yatra. The very strongly built Dayatas, carriers of the Jagannath deity, were as powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car. And that's a purport. I'm not going to read it, okay, at this point. While carrying the deity of Lord Jagannath, some of the Dayatas took hold of the shoulders of the Lord, and some caught his lotus feet. The Lord Jagannath Didi was bound at the waist by a strong, thick rope made of silk. From the two sides, the Dayatas caught hold of this rope and raised the deity. Strong, puffed-up cotton pads called tulis were spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like pad to the next by the Dayatas. While the Dayatas carried the heavy Jagannath deity from one pad to the next, some of the pads broke, and the cotton contents floated into the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? The Lord moves by his personal will, not will, just to perform his pastimes. While the Lord was transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting, Manima, Manima, but he could not be heard. Manima means, I'll read that very brief purport. The word Manima is used to address a respectable person in Orissa. Lord Jagannath was being respectfully addressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way. Translation again. While the Lord was being carried from the throne to the car, King Prataparuja personally engaged in the Lord's service by cleansing the road with a broom that had a golden handle. The king sprinkled the road with sandalwood water. Although he was the owner of the royal throne, he engaged in menial service for the sake of Lord Jagannath. Although the king was the most exalted, respectable person, still he accepted menial service for the Lord. He therefore became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. Upon seeing the king engaged in such menial service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. And this is Srila Prabhupada's purport to that translation. Unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or engage in his devotional service. Atapite deva padam buja vaya prasada lesanu gurihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno Nachanaya e gopi chiram vichinvan. A devotee who has received even a small fraction of the mercy of the Lord can understand him. Others may engage in theoretical speculation to understand the Lord, but they cannot know anything about him. Although Maharaj Prataparuja was very eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord refused to see him. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king engaged in the menial service for Lord Jagannath, he became very happy. Thus, the king became eligible to receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If a devotee accepts Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the universal guru and Lord Jagannath as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he is benefited by the combined mercy of Krishna and Guru. This is stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Rupa Goswami, and that's found in the Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Text 151. Brahmananda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashade by Bhakti Lata Beach. The seed of devotional service fructifies and becomes a transcendental creeper. Finally, it reaches the lotus feet of the Lord and the spiritual sky. This seed is obtained by the mercy of the Lord and the Guru. By the Lord's mercy, one gets the association of a bona fide Guru. And by the mercy of the Guru, one gets a chance to render devotional service. Devotional service, the science of bhakti yoga, carries one from this material world to the spiritual world. Okay, so I'll just try to say a little something about that, and then we'll be reading more. So it's explained here how Maharaj Prataparuja, he was, of course, more of a background story to this, but he was very eager to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And here it's being described how he became a menial servant. He was the king, you know, which is the most prestigious position in the entire country, of course. But he was prepared to get down and, you know, from his throne and grab a broom and sweep in front of Lord Jagannath's cart, and in an attempt to get the mercy of the Lord. And Prabhupada explains here that unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, You got to get the mercy of the Lord. And in order to get the mercy of the Lord, you have to be prepared to, you know, to surrender to this extent and perform menial service. You know, I looked it up in the dictionary. Menial means not very small, you know, like manual labor, something anybody can do, not very prestigious. So, you know, that's menial service. And he was prepared to do that. And, of course, this is not a new idea to us, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, in the purport to the famous verse, just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, that verse, Prabhupada says that, talking about how one should accept the spiritual master, he said, the spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender. One should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. And as a result of doing that, he becomes, when it says here, one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees the desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So in other words, when the spiritual master sees that, you know, the aspiring devotee is prepared to come out of the bodily concept of life, you know, become humble and engage in menial service, you know, that he's actually understood the philosophy. Because that's not just like it's not a show. It's not like he's trying to do something politically correct. When you engage in menial service to the spiritual master, you're demonstrating that you actually understand the philosophy. Because the fact of the matter is that we are menial servants. You know, that's our constitutional position. We're menial servants. You know, we're not the body of spirit souls, and we're actually servants, menial servants of Krishna. You know, there's that verse, Nityo Nichanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahanam Yova Dadati Kaman, that there's so many supreme eternals, and among them there's one, you know, so many eternals, and among them there's one supreme eternal who's maintaining all the other eternals, you know, and that's Krishna. So in other words, there's one, what's the opposite of a menial servant? Glorious master, Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, and there's innumerable menial servants. And as all the living entities, where expansion, you know, Vibhinamsa expansions of Krishna, our constitutional position is menial servants. See? So by doing this, Maharaj Pratapuja was demonstrating that he understood the philosophy, you know, that he understood his real position as a menial servant. And that made, as it says here, that made Lord Chaitanya very happy when he saw that. And, you know, this is significant because Maharaj Pratapuja, as you know, he was a king, and actually, you know, on so many different levels, he was a great personality. As a king, just to give you a little background information about Maharaj Pratapuja, he was the king of Orissa for 43 years. Okay, he fought against Nawab Hussein Shah at one point. And actually, he was a powerful king. You know, the Mughals, I guess that's who you refer to them, were occupying India. But there were certain parts of India that they were not successful in occupying. And one of those was that area. And that was due to the resistance, the strength of Maharaj Pratapuja. You know, they weren't able to conquer that part of India. So he was a powerful king. And apparently he was also, even before this, you know, getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he was a devotee. He was a serious devotee. It's in the records of the Jagannath Temple that his regular daily routine was that he would worship Jagannath every morning, and he would recite the Ramayana, and then take his, you know, breakfast, have his lunch, and then deal with his, you know, affairs of the state after that. So he was a devotee. He actually was an associate, not an associate, but, well, maybe an associate. He knew Ramananda Roy. You know, he had dealings with Ramananda Roy even before all this. And Ramananda Roy was impressed by his character and his devotion, so much so that he dedicated the prefatory verses of a play he wrote called Jagannath Ballabha Natikam. And all the, you know, the prefatory verses of every song in that play were dedicated in glorification of Maharaj Pratapuja. So he was appreciated by Ramananda Roy, who, you know, is an extremely great devotee, as a great devotee. So, and, you know, here he is coming down and grabbing the the broom and sweeping the, you know, the road in front of Jagannath. Actually, this wasn't the first time. I wasn't sure if this was a new thing, but according, I did a little research in the temple records of Jagannath Temple. It's described that this was a tradition. And I don't know if it began with Maharaj Pratapruja, if he was the first king to do it, or he was following a tradition that was there for many, many kings, but it wasn't the first time. But it probably was the first time that Lord Chaitanya saw him doing that, and he was, you know, Lord Chaitanya was pleased. So, and even, so this is like, it's very significant that such a, you know, exalted personality would be prepared to do that. And we have to understand it's, it even goes deeper than that, you know. It's important that, you know, such an exalted personality was, you know, prepared to do that. And this is such an important thing that actually the Lord Chaitanya has created a pastime to impart a lesson to us. There's a message here, a very important message, a lesson that we're all supposed to learn. In other words, and it wasn't, you know, this all happened not because Maharaj Pratapruja needed to learn how to become humble, how to become a menial servant. Because to be honest with you, he already knew that. Does anybody know who Maharaj Pratapruja is? According to the Gaura Gagana Desha Dipika, does anybody know who Maharaj, what's that? Too fast, too slow, too loud? Stay in the microphone. Okay. Anyway, does anybody, according to the Gaura Gagana Desha Dipika, does anybody know who Maharaj Pratapruja is? Anybody want to venture a guess? Huh? No. No. Indradumna Swami. Indradumna Maharaj. See? So, you know, according to the Gaura Gagana Desha Dipika, which was written by Kavi Kanapur, the son of Shivananda Sain, which is accepted as, it's kind of like the who's who of Gaudiya Vaishnav, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavs. And, you know, it's authoritative. And he says that in his past life, or, you know, some past life, Maharaj Pratapruja was King Indradumna. And that's really significant, because actually King Indradumna is, you know, is a devotee who is very much instrumental in the, what to speak of, Ratha Yatra, the whole existence and worshipping of the Jagannath deity. Just to refresh, memories, and maybe for those of you who are brand new, to just give you a little information. The story goes something like this, that there was this emperor, or king, Indradumna, very great king, very powerful king, and couldn't, I'm not clear on the date, how far back this goes, couldn't get that information, but long, long ago, he was there, and one night he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw this beautiful bluish deity. And I think he even understood the name. The name was Nila Madhava. Nila means bluish, and Madhava is a name for Krishna. So he had that dream. And when he woke up, he had this great desire. He wanted to worship that deity. But, you know, he didn't have that deity. He just saw it in the dream. So he had all his servants go out searching far and wide to see if they could find this deity of Nila. You know, does such a deity even exist? He saw it in his dream. He didn't even know if such a deity existed. So he sent out his servants far and wide to see if he could find that deity. They could find that deity. And sure enough, one of them was successful. His name was Vijapati. And he located this deity. And the deity was actually being worshipped in a very remote village of his kingdom by pig farmers. They're called Sabaras. And somehow or another, I'm going to, can't get all the details, but I'll just try to give you like a brief outline. The Sabaras, one of them in particular, was in charge of, his name was Vishvavasu. He was in charge of worshipping this Nila Madhava deity. So Vijapati found him, and he went back to tell Indradumna Maharaj, yeah, there is such a deity. I found him, and this is where he is. So Indradumna Maharaj was really excited to find this out, and he said, okay, let's go. Take me to him. You know, lead me to our master, so to speak. So they went. But I guess Vijayapati probably wasn't careful enough when when he met this Vishvashu, because the Sabra who was taking care of, who was worshiping Nilamadava, he could sense, something's up here, and I don't feel like, and he was attached. I mean, he might have been a Sabra, a pig farmer, but he was attached to worshiping this deity. So he could sense, no, something's wrong. So he hid the deity someplace. Right. So when they got back there, Vijayapati and Indradumna Maharaj got back there, the deity was gone. And so Indradumna Maharaj got really upset, and he said, "Okay, cordon off this area." He called for his men and everything, and they blocked off, fenced off the entire area around the village, so nobody could get out with the deity, and they were searching for it and like that, and. This Vishvashu was, put him under arrest, but, he wasn't being treated very nicely. Anyway, so what happened was there was a voice from the sky. Indradumna Maharaj heard a voice from the sky, and the voice said, "Release him, build the temple, and I'll come to your temple, not as Nilamadava, but in a Nimud form." So that's the voice he heard from the sky said that. And Indradumna Maharaj took that as being, from Krishna, coming from the Lord. And he said, okay. So then the plan was he went down to the ocean and he waited on the shore of the ocean for, I guess that's what he was directed to do. I didn't get that detail. But then this giant floating log came, right? And he understood that this log is the log that was supposed to make these deities from. So, once again, this is like all part of, pastime of the Lord. And by Krishna's arrangement, the Vishvakarma, who's the architect of the demigods, appeared on the scene. He was disguised as like just an ordinary sculptor. And I don't know if he, volunteered his services, came forward and volunteered his services, or if he was I didn't get that detail, but he was engaged to, a deal was struck. That he would, I can carve deities out of this wood for you, this huge log. My condition is that you give me a place to work, and for 21 days, you don't disturb me. Just let me do my thing. I know what I'm doing. Just leave it to me, okay? And I'll carve you some nice deities from this big log. So Indradumna Maharaj agreed to that, and he gave him, a good place to work and everything. And then he started, and every day he could hear him, chip, 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 But then after a certain number of days, all of a sudden, there was silence. There was no noise in this room. Nothing, no sound coming from this room where he was. And Indradumna Maharaj was thinking, what's going on? He was kind of like, he's trying to figure, what's going on? Why don't I hear any sound? Does he stop working or this or that? Anyway, so the suspense got too much for him. At some point, it just got to be too much, so he opened the door. And when he opened the door, Vishvakarma was just sitting there. He was just looking at the deity. He was just contemplating, and he said, "Well, what's up? What are you doing?" He said, I just got too much. The suspense, it just came too much for me, and I just had to see what was going on." And he said, "Okay, well, but you remember the deal we made, right? You remember our agreement, our arrangement?" And he said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Okay, well, I'm sorry." And I said, I'm not going to work on him anymore. And Indradumna Maharaj, I can't remember if he was what his emotion was, but he made a decision that, I'm going to worship him as they are. You see, but they weren't complete. I mean, that's Jagannath and Baladeva and Subhadra. They were, they looked as we appear and worship them now, as they appear now and we worship them now. So he, that night, when he was sleeping, he had a dream. Well, actually, no, before that. But then he went away. Maybe he did get a little upset or angry. I can't remember exactly. But when he went away, he was regretting that, maybe I made an offense. Maybe it's an offense to this Vishvakarma. And maybe it's even an offense to the Lord to say that I'm going to worship him in that form. I mean, obviously, this is not an appropriate form. I'm not going to. Anyway, he was feeling like that. He was feeling like regret and lamentation about the way he behaved. So that night he had a dream. Again, he had a dream. And in that dream, the Lord came to him and told him no, no, don't worry. Everything's okay. It's my desire. It's my desire to be worshipped in that form, because I want to demonstrate to everybody, to the entire world, that I don't need hands to accept an offering, and I don't need legs to go anyplace. You know, I can accept offerings, you know, without it, like that. So anyway, so the Lord revealed to him in that dream that it's okay. This is part of my plan, and he also told them that. But you know, don't worry. Every not now and then, you know, not regularly, but every now and then, you can put some gold and silver arms on me, or gold and silver legs. It's part of my ornaments, and you know, in that way, you can feel more satisfied. But so basically, in that dream, it was, you know, confirmed to the king that yeah, the Lord wanted to be worshipped in this way. Okay. So that's the story of how the, you know, the existence, how the Jagannath deities came in to existence. And as we can understand, Indradyumna Maharaj was a very you know, important personality in this whole story. So here he is, Indradyumna Maharaj. He's Maharaj Pratapuja. Maharaj Pratapuja is Indradyumna Maharaj according to the Gauranga. So I think we can understand from this, you know, just from what we heard, that, you know, a devotee of this caliber, he didn't need to learn this lesson about how to be a humble servant to the Lord, or how to be a menial servant to the Lord, simply because he already knew it. He already understood this like 1,000 times over. He's like, obviously, like a super elevated, confidential associate of the Lord. So this is a pastime. This is something that's been arranged. You know, this whole thing has been arranged by Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, so to teach us, you know, for the general people to learn this lesson of how important it is to take the humble position, you know, in relation to the Lord and the great devotees. See, because Maharaj Pratapuja, he took a humble position in relation to the Lord Jagannath. As I mentioned, he was. It's in the temple records that he was regularly worshipping Jagannath. You know, he was a devotee even before his contact with Lord Chaitanya's associates. And then he took a very humble position in relation to Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees. You know, right from the beginning, I mean, he made arrangements for them. He was very polite and respectful, of course, but he made arrangements, nice arrangements for, you know, for where Lord Chaitanya came to stay in a nice place, Kasi Mishra's house in Jagannath Puri. He made arrangements for all the devotees who were coming from Bengal. And, you know, these devotees, they were just like simple Vaishnavas. They weren't like big shot businessmen or something like that. You know, they're just like simple sadhus, you know, coming. So, but he treated them as very special and very respectfully, and he made nice arrangements for them for their accommodations, for their prasadam and like that. And so he shows us a very great example. There's so many, you know, important lessons, you know, to be learned from this pastime of Ratha Yatra. Another important lesson. Can somebody tell me what time it is? Because I actually can't see that far. 8:09. Okay. Another really important lesson was that Lord Chaitanya. This is interesting because as great a devotee as he was. You know, even in this lifetime, even in that lifetime, you know, even with not knowing, you know, how even greater he was, because he was Indradyumna Maharaj in the past lifetime, Lord Chaitanya, he was not willing to associate with him. You know, the story starts back in the Madhyalila 10th chapter. Lord Chaitanya had left Jagannath Puri. You know, when he took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri because his mother asked him, make your base in Jagannath Puri, at least that way I can get some news about you. Even though I won't get to see you, I'll get some news. It's not too far away. So he said, yeah, okay, he agreed. Anyways, it's so much more detail, but you can't. This is the bare bones, so to speak. So then he left to go on tour of South India. And when he left, Maharaj Pratapuja, his capital was Cuttack, but he spent a lot of time in Jagannath Puri because Jagannath is there and he's a great devotee. So he was an associate of both Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, as I already mentioned. So he went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he said, hey, I heard a great personality. You've got the mercy of a great personality and like that. And basically he was asking him about Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya confirmed, yeah, that's a fact, you know. He said, well, I'd like to meet him. You know, I want to I also want to get his mercy. And he said, well, the problem there. He said, what? What's the problem? Yeah. He said, well, you know, he's Lord Chaitanya, he's playing the role of a sannyasi, and he's trying to show a really, set a very strict example for sannyasis now and in years to come, you know, how a sannyasi should conduct himself. So he won't meet with a woman or a king, because, you know, it's not the proper thing for sannyasi to do. And he said, aside from that, he's already left Jagannath Puri, and you know, he's went to South India. Anyway, that was the first thing, and you know, the devotees made different attempts, you know, requesting Lord Chaitanya to meet with Maharaj Prataparudra, but he wouldn't do it. That was very important to him. That it's another lesson, you know, that if you're going to be a spiritual leader, sannyasi is a spiritual leader, you have to be strict and you have to set a, you know, very good example. So Lord Chaitanya was really serious about that. So much so that, you know, he was, at least externally, he was shunning the association of this king who happened to be a very great devotee. And that was being certified by his own associates. You know, at one point when they were trying to press the issue, and Lord Chaitanya said, okay, let's do this, okay? I'll go to Alanath or some other place, and but you can all stay here, and you can associate with Maharaj Prataparudra. No, you know, he wasn't, and then when they heard that, they said, okay, forget about it, you know, we won't bring it up again, you know. But anyway, fortunately, eventually how it happened, how it came this far that, you know, Lord Nityananda, I want to get the correct order here. Here it is. Ramananda Roy, when Lord Chaitanya went to South India, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya requested him to meet Ramananda Roy, because he was a governor, but he was a great devotee. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya knew that in retrospect. He actually, when he became a devotee, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, because he wasn't initially, he was like a logician and a, you know. But when he became a devotee, then he was able to appreciate the importance of Ramananda Roy in retrospect, you know. Previously, he hadn't been able to appreciate him. He thought it was just like a sentimental Vaishnava like that. But so then he requested Lord Chaitanya to meet him. And Lord Chaitanya did, and everybody knows that. They spent like 10 days discussing pastimes of Krishna on the bank of the Godavari River. And Lord Chaitanya had Ramananda Roy speaking, and, you know, he was asking questions, and Ramananda Roy was speaking. Anyway, so at the end of that, session there, they, of course, once again, Ramananda Roy is, I think, Vishaka, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He's also a Nitya Siddha, great, you know, one of the greatest devotees. So Lord Chaitanya requested him, you know what, please, you just retire from your government service and come, you know, to Jagannath Puri, and we'll spend the rest of our lives hearing and discussing about Krishna. So when Ramananda Roy returned to Puri, he told Maharaj Prataparudra what was going on. And Maharaj Prataparudra said, yeah, great, sounds like a great idea. You can retire straight away, and I'll give you, not only are you, I give you permission to retire, but I give you a pension of a full salary, and don't worry about anything, you know, just go for it. So he was fully supporting the idea. So Lord Chaitanya heard that, and of course he appreciated that. And then Lord Nityananda, the devotees were still trying. Even though Lord Chaitanya was threatening that he was going to leave and, you know, not come back and they wouldn't see him again, still they felt so much sympathy for Maharaj Prataparudra, because you could see that he was such a sincere devotee, he was so surrendered, that they were going to try again. So they thought, well, so they made this other plan. They were going to go to Lord Chaitanya, and they were just going to say, glorify the good qualities of Maharaj Prataparudra. They weren't going to make a request of him, you know. But when they got there, there was Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, maybe Ramananda Roy was there, I can't remember. But when they got there, they couldn't speak. They were speechless, because they just, you know, when it came to the crunch, they So Lord Chaitanya said, what's up? You know, he said, I could see you trying to say something, but, you know, what's going on here? And they said, well, actually, we do have something to say, but, you know, we don't know if you're going to like it. He said, well, you know, spit it out. I mean, he didn't say that, but he said, let's hear it. So So they told him, well, actually, when the king, Maharaj Prataprudra, heard that you wouldn't, you know, give him a darshan even, then he, because he was a king, he's decided that, forget about being a king, that he's ready to renounce his kingdom, he's ready to give up his life. You know, he thinks, what is the point of living if I, he was such a great devotee, he actually felt like this, what is the point of living if I can't get, you know, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? So he's prepared to renounce his kingdom, become a mendicant, and even give up his life if that was, would help, you know. So they presented that to Lord Chaitanya, and, you know, still he wasn't inclined, you know. And then so Lord Nityananda made a suggestion. He said, well, look, he was kind of sympathetic. He was softening up because he'd already, you know, Ramananda Roy already kind of gotten a few good things. And so by this time, Lord Chaitanya was softening up because, see, it's really, there's a dynamics here. On the one hand, he's trying to set this really good example of how a sannyasi, how strict a sannyasi should be, because it's really important. But on the other hand, Lord Chaitanya is considering, well, you know, but it's also important to reciprocate with the love of great devotees, genuine, sincere devotees. So that was kind of there too, you know. And he was conscious of that. That was weighing in there as well. So, you know, he did. They were all kind of like, well, what to do? And Lord Nityananda suggested, well, I'll tell you what. Let me just give him one of your old garments. You know, that'll kind of pacify him. He won't give up his kingdom. He won't give up his life. You know, at least it'll give him some hope, you know. So they did that. And Maharaj Prataprudra accepted it as like tadiya. You know, that was like non-different from Lord Chaitanya. And he worshipped it, right? And that gave him great inspiration. Actually, that worked. And also, I think almost simultaneously, just after that, Ramananda Roy, I can't remember if Lord Chaitanya came up with the idea or Ramananda Roy came up with the idea that let me meet his son. He was prepared to. Lord Chaitanya came up with the idea, I'll meet his son because the son is like the father reborn, you know, so let me meet his son. So Ramananda Roy brought his son, his oldest son. It just so happened that his son looked like Krishna. His son had like a swarthy, bluish kind of complexion. He was wearing yellow clothing. And he looked really a lot like Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya met him, Ramananda Roy brought him into the presence of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he thought, oh, who is this devotee? Who is this person who's reminding me of Krishna so much? You know, he immediately like was in ecstasy just to see him. And he embraced him, you know. He didn't do anything. He just showed up. And he embraced him, and he was so happy to see him. And the boy, when he was embraced by Lord Chaitanya, he became ecstatic. He experienced ecstatic love for God. And it's actually described that he was an ordinary prince. You know, up until that moment, he was an ordinary prince. And then that happened. And not only did he feel ecstatic, but he became transformed into one of the confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya. Right at that moment, right on the spot. And what happened was when he went back and he met his father, and his father embraced him, and his father, same thing happened. His father also experienced the ecstatic love of Lord Chaitanya just by embracing his son, who had been embraced by Lord Chaitanya. And that increased his desire even more to, you know, that I gotta, no matter what, somehow or another, I gotta get the, you know, get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, you know, he was very sympathetic. He was kind of really on Maharaj Prataprudra's side all the time. He said, look, I got a plan. So what's that? He said, okay, look, here's how it's going to work. He said, on the Ratha Yatra day, Lord Chaitanya is going to be dancing and chanting with the devotees, and he's going to be in a lot of ecstasy, and he's also going to be he's going to get tired. So what's going to happen is at some point, you know, towards the end of the parade, he's going to go into a garden, you know, and he'll, you know, just to rest, just to recover a little bit. And so that's your chance. What you should do is go in at that time. You should go into that garden. The town was called Balagandhi or something like that. There's no mention of the name of the garden. But go in there, but don't be dressed like the king. You know, don't be dressed like a king. Just be dressed like a, you know, a simple Vaishnav like that, you know. Go in there and, you know, you can massage his legs and like that. Render some menial service to him. And also, he told him that he should recite verses from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically the part, you know, the Rasa Lila section. So So he followed that advice. But before I even, I'll describe that a little bit more. Before I do, I want to just quickly catch up there. So anyway, so even before that, though, you know, this just by these different things, by the combination of, you know, his humility and his being prepared to be a menial servant and the devotees, getting the, he had the well wishes of the devotees, he was going to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was kind of the same, you know, externally, he was kind of like, no, you know, but internally and in different subtle ways, he was giving him the mercy. Like, for instance, all right, so he swept the, bring this back to today's story, he was sweeping the road, you know, in front of the Jagannath Deity. Lord Chaitanya was pleased with that. And then the next thing that happened was they were dancing. You know, Lord Chaitanya was dancing ecstatically in the kirtan. And at one point, he was just got so ecstatic that he kind of like passed out in ecstasy. He was out. He was losing his balance. And Maharaj Prataparuja was right there and caught him. He said he caught him. And then when he was caught by Maharaj Prataparuja, Lord Chaitanya returned to external consciousness. And he saw, what's this? The king, no. And he was, you know, criticizing himself. Why am I allowing myself to be touched by a king? But it describes, you know, in the purport, internally he was happy. So that happened. And then, so Maharaj Prataparuja got a bit more mercy. You see, it's kind of like he's, you know, it's starting to happen now. And then after that, a little further on into the parade, Lord Chaitanya was, there was 7 kirtan parties. You know, it's described here in the chapter introduction, there were 7 chanting parties. So at one point, Lord Chaitanya started dancing. He expanded himself, and he was dancing simultaneously in all the 7 kirtan parties, you see? And but not everybody could see that. But Maharaj Prataparuja was able to, he was able to see that. He was given that mercy that he was able to understand that, hey, whoa, what's going on here? Lord Chaitanya's there, and he's there, and he's there, and he's there. So, you know, he was getting... things are getting revealed to him here. So then that happened, and then finally, towards the end there, when Lord Chaitanya went into the garden there, he went into the garden, and you know, he was massaging his legs, and then he started reciting verses from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this, I'm going to end the class by just reading this little section from that actual part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes this. This pastime and how Maharaj Prataparuja ultimately got the complete mercy of the Lord. Okay, here we go. This is really beautiful. This is really nice. So it says here, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting in ecstatic love, Maharaj Prataparuja entered the garden. Following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, the king gave up his royal dress. He now entered the garden in the dress of a Vaishnav. Maharaj Prataparuja was so humble that with folded hands, he first took permission from all the devotees. Then with great courage, he fell down and touched the lotus feet of the Lord. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lay on the raised platform with his eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion, the king very expertly began to massage his legs. So you've got to, you know, visualize this, of course, as you hear it. The king began to recite verses about the Ras Lila from Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the chapter beginning with the words, Jayati Te Dikam. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he was pleased beyond limits. And he said again and again, go on reciting, go on reciting. As soon as the king recited the verse beginning with the words Tavakatamritam, the Lord arose in ecstatic love and embraced him. And that was like, he was relishing it already. And then when he recited that verse, it was like, oh, wow, this is just too much nectar. So it says, upon hearing the verse recited by the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have given me invaluable gems, but I have nothing to give you in return. Therefore, I am simply embracing you. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the same verse again and again. Both the king and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trembling, and tears were flowing from their eyes. And this is that verse, the famous verse. Actually, does anybody know that verse? I'll give somebody a chance. I And do you know the translation? Oh, I'll read the translation so everybody could hear it. I know you know it. It says, "My Lord, the neck." This is actually the gopis speaking, right? To Krishna. "My Lord, the nectar of your words and the description of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities. They eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers." So that's from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And it says, "After reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the king and cried, 'You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent.' At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not know who the king was, so-called, you know, but anyway. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy was aroused because of the king's previous service. Therefore, without even asking who he was, the Lord immediately bestowed his mercy upon him." And he goes, "How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. Finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, 'Who are you? You have done so much for me. All of a sudden you have come here and made me drink the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna.' The king replied, 'My Lord, I am the most obedient servant of your servants. It is my ambition that you will accept me as the servant of your servants.' At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed some of his divine opulences to the king." Haribo, right. "And he forbade him to disclose this to anyone. Although within his heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew everything that was happening, externally he did not disclose it. Nor did he disclose that he knew he was talking with King Prataparudra. Seeing the Lord's special mercy upon King Prataparudra, the devotees praised the king's good fortune, and their minds became open and blissful. Submissively offering prayers to the devotees with folded hands and offering obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king went outside." And that's it. So it's the story of how he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, Hare Krishna. So, I guess we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charanamrita Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath Rathyatra Ki Jai.